show, show, show. Because, the cars, your dreams. Electronic centrifuges. The dream cannot be spoiled. It simply must sustain the truth. The truth is sex and cars and dreams. Electric blues. The warning of new girls performing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the CADcast, episode number 169, dudes. It's GPD here in Tokyo, Japan, and of course, we have got Wombat.
And I suck at games!
Like a poop. You're so much poop, you smell like poop. You taste like poop. You're famous now, Wombat.
I know. Well, that's, you become famous when you're trash. That's so much trash. You're like trash out of the garbage trash.
Dude, let me tell you how famous you are right now. And I'm not even, I wish I was making this up, and I guess maybe I'll have to post a screenshot to prove it. I just turned on my Xbox 360 literally 5 minutes ago because I just wanted to quickly check out the games on demand stuff for the new Xbox Live update. And, you know, I also wanted to see if the dashboard was retained the speed increase from the preview that I had. And it seemed that it did, by the way. So during my testing, I load up my messages and I'm reading through my messages and I get a message from somebody who asked me if I was Wombat, which I thought was pretty weird.
That is weird and
weird. You're like, they said, are you Wombat? I'm like, my name is Cheapy D. If you see now, you're so famous now that people who don't know Cheapy D know Wombat.
It was bound to happen eventually.
Eventually, you had to go ahead and do something that would make you infamous.
And it seems as though I've done it. Which although we all you know. Really did it, not me. But whatever.
We'll talk about that a little later because. That's going to be our main topic for show feedback from last week. Before we do that, I just wanted to tell you very quickly about my little mini vacation. Last week I had a mini vacation, just 2 nights, in Hokkaido, which is in Japan, Wombat. I don't know if you knew that.
I could tell by the letters in the name.
Right. So too many consonants together.
Yeah. Too many K's and H's.
Right. So we flew to Hokkaido with Ty and, of course, my wife, and Osaka Grandma met us there. And, you know, Mrs. Cheapy planned this whole trip, which was nice because I didn't have to do anything except, you know, throw some underwear in a suitcase and show up. So she booked this place. It was pretty interesting. It was, you know, Hokkaido is known for a lot of things. Maybe the most famous thing is skiing. They supposedly get excellent snow up there. So we stayed at a ski resort. In the summertime, like this huge ski resort. The interesting thing about this place is that they have an amusement park, a full-blown amusement park next door to the resort. You just walk over there. And that's what's open in the summertime. And it's like a legit amusement park. I mean, it's got looping roller coasters and go-karts and what else would a legit amusement park have? I don't know. But they, whatever it is, they had it. So it was pretty
cool.
Did they
have any of those things where you give a guy a dollar and you throw balls and win nothing?
No, they didn't have that, but they had like the sledgehammer, you know, the giant sledgehammer, and you try to hit the bell. They had the famous Japanese haunted house, which was my first Japanese haunted house experience. It was pretty interesting. I did get scared a few times, and it was mostly because they have like these air horns, but like air blasts that go off, you know, like whoosh. That type of blast, not like a wah. And because I'm so tall, like the thing was basically located 3 inches from my ear. So it would just blow off in my ear every so often and I would jump. And Mrs. Chief was like, you're scared. I'm like, well, I'm scared of going deaf from this stupid haunted house. But I actually took a few pictures of the haunted house, which probably wasn't allowed, but I did that.
Excellent. And just a little inside CADcast for the listeners at home. The connection for some reason tonight over Skype is awful.
So, really?
Yeah. So if there's a little bit of lag, that'll be why.
I can hear you fine, actually.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my crap-ass internet.
Maybe you should turn off all your porn torrents.
I refuse to turn off my porn torrents.
Right. You have to have your priorities set.
Exactly.
Well, let me know if it gets too bad, Wombat. You don't have to pretend that we can hear each other, which we often do.
I did hear your story, but, you know, I'm just letting everyone, you know, kiss.
You probably wish that you didn't.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, the point was, I know, I'm just telling people what's going on. So the point was, it was a fun little trip, and we had Ty on a plane, and, you know, he had a little ear infection before we left, and I guess the plane makes that worse. So when we got home...
Yeah, you're not supposed to take a child on a plane with an ear infection.
Yeah, and I didn't
know
that.
It's like parenting 101. Way to go.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? Whenever I go to the doctor...
You're worse than, like, the adopted parents in the first Harry Potter movie. But go ahead, tell your story.
Well, Ty does live underneath the staircase in a tiny room. And we don't even have any stairs, so... I don't know. So it was a good trip. Yeah. So we came home and he had a fever, and that was a lot of fun. And, I don't know. It was a little training for our 14-hour flight, a little hour and a half flight. And when we came back, there were two earthquakes within a day of each other.
Yeah. I saw one on the news. It was like a 6.6 or something crazy.
Yeah. I think they were both around the same strength, but. You know, you have to remember, like, they're not in Tokyo. They're like several hundred miles away from Tokyo. But we still feel it here. And, you know, I live in a tall building, and these tall buildings, they sway so much because that's how they don't crumble. They build them that way, which is good, I guess. But it's very nerve-wracking, because the swaying lasts a while. It just keeps going back and forth. Next time, what I got to do is I got to grab my video camera, and you can see, like, the curtains moving and... You know, the water levels in the bottles and stuff moving back and forth. It's sort of freaky. I still get scared every time. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not going to look like you're not going to see shit bouncing up and down and stuff like that. But I don't know. It still freaks the shit out of me every time it happens. I don't like it while I'm at.
I wouldn't like it either. My weekend was not as eventful as that. I did have a day away. We did go away overnight.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't two nights. It was one night. We went to my parents, and for those who don't know, my parents live on the beach. So we spent the day at the beach with the baby, and we sat out in the sun, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. And then one of my friends, who has a beach house a couple of blocks away, had his annual summer turkey fry.
Oh, nice.
He takes a whole turkey and puts it in one of those deep frying vats. And
those are awesome.
And then he brings out all sorts of other goodies that he has to fry. So we had fried Oreos and fried candy bars and fried Ilio's pizza.
Fried Ilio's pizza?
Yeah, it was awesome. He takes Pillsbury dough, you know, from the tubes.
Yeah.
And covers a piece of frozen Ilio's pizza with it. And no, thawed out Ilio's pizza because it can't be frozen. And he takes the Ilio's pizza in the dough and he dips it in and he pulls out like this weird ass calzone type thing.
Oh my God, how awesome is it?
It was pretty awesome. He made deep fried meatballs that were, you know, with the same kind of croissant out exterior interior. It was really good, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the baby stayed with my parents while we were at the barbecue, but our dog was there. There were five dogs at this thing. It was a good time.
Nice.
And the next morning, I got to sleep in, which was the best part of the whole weekend.
Yeah, see, we didn't even on our little mini vacation, we all shared a hotel room. We got like a big hotel room, and so Osaka Grandma was in one room and we were in another. And I don't know, Ty still woke up at like 7 o'clock or earlier, and you know, he makes a lot of noise running around yelling Mama Papa, Mama Papa. So yeah, I didn't really get to sleep in at all.
Yeah, see, my mom took the baby monitor and said when the baby wakes up, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, she does. Osaka Grandma does that when she stays with us, and you know, I don't hear the baby when it's in the living room with the door closed. But now,
and then I woke up and my mom made me an omelet. It was pretty awesome, actually. I highly recommend staying at my parents' house over the weekend.
Well, book me. I'm in New York. I want to book.
It's a very nice little bed and breakfast.
Oh, speaking of food, and you know, Hokkaido is known for a lot of different types of food, and crab is one of them. So, at this resort that we stayed at, they had, you know, there's a lot of buffets going on, and they had all-you-can-eat crab legs, or crabs, I guess. And it was like king crab. You had a choice of king crab or snow crab, I think. And it was just ridiculous. I have a picture of it up. I actually haven't posted it yet, but I have a picture of just like this pile of crab legs. And it's always so funny to see Japanese people at all-you-can-eat buffets. You'd think that these people haven't eaten in like weeks because they go up to the buffet and they pile up on their plate like Mount Fuji, right on the plate. I saw a guy take, he must have taken like 4 pounds of crabs back to his table. Like, dude, they're not going anywhere. I mean, it's all you can eat. They're not going to run out. But it's always entertaining to see that. I also, before we do the show feedback from last week, I want to I watched a few movies that I want to recommend. Have you seen Gran Torino?
I haven't, but I heard it's pretty decent.
It's I mean, I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan, and you know, especially as a director and stuff. I've really like almost. I think every movie that I've seen of his, I've really liked a lot, and this one was no exception. Although,
The ones with the monkey.
I'm talking about. Well, did he direct those?
Was that? I don't know. I feel like he may have directed one of them. To be perfectly honest.
No, well, he might have, but you know, he's done a lot of movies that I really like. You know, Unforgiven, A Perfect World. Have you ever seen that?
I have seen that. It's the one with Kevin Costner.
That's maybe Kevin Costner's last good movie.
It might be, and that movie, yeah, that movie's depressing though. It's all hell.
It is a little depressing, but. It's a good movie. But Gran Torino, I definitely recommend. Although my father pointed out when I asked him if he saw it, he's like, I don't need to see it. I saw the trailer. I know everything about it. It's about a mean guy who hates everybody, and then he grows to like his neighbors, and then he's not a mean guy anymore. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. I guess you don't need to see it. But it's awesome. I also saw Tropic Thunder. We rented the Blu-ray last night.
I saw that.
It was funny. I mean, it you know, I wasn't rolling on the floor laughing, but it had its funny moments.
Yeah, I didn't die with laughter either, but yeah, I'm with you on that. I guess it was a little too hyped up for me.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Although I do like the Ben Stiller movie within the movie.
What do you mean?
His
silly what was it? Happy Jack or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Smiling. I forgot what it was called. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was a nice indictment on the Hollywood machine.
Mama's going to see she's going to be in my head movies. But these head movies make my eyes rain. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I don't think Mrs. Chibi laughed once throughout the movie, but she seemed to enjoy the fact that I was laughing.
And really, isn't that all that matters?
Yeah, as long as I'm having a good time. It was the first time I rented a Blu-ray in a while. We haven't done that. They finally started getting like a decent Blu-ray collection at my rental store, and they stopped putting all the Blu-ray movies separately. They now intersperse them with the regular DVDs. Unfortunately, they only have like one of each title, but except The Dark Knight, which they had like four of. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anything else, Wombat, before we get into the last show feedback, which mostly revolves around your Xbox Live Gamer Spotlight experience?
I think we could talk a little bit more about me and Xbox Live. Let's go right into that.
Okay, so let's read some of these comments. The first is from... Well, in case you didn't listen to last week's show, Wombat was the featured gamer on Xbox. And with that, they put a little profile of you up on the Xbox dashboard and an interview up on Xbox.com. And because of this publicity, Wombat received a lot of very hateful text and voice messages on his Xbox Live account. So we played a whole clip about that, and we'll, anyway. So here's some feedback from Prairie Dog. He says that was the best CADcast in a long time. Two reasons why: number one, got to hear Wombat do his British accent again, and number two, the truth behind the Xbox Live Spotlight. I felt just like Cheapy did when he was listening to the voice messages. It was pretty funny at first, but it was really kind of sickening after the first couple. You're right, that's the Xbox Live community in a nutshell. The reason why I never use my headset anymore unless I'm playing with friends. You know, this whole thing's made me really think about everything. You know, Xbox Live and, you know, voice communication and all this stuff. Because it has gotten a fair amount of... publicity, or, you know, got people talking. And I think it's a little unfair to blame, just, you know, say, okay, this is the Xbox Live community, even though that's sort of what we did, right? I mean, on the show, is we...
It's sort of, yeah, in our own way, sure.
But it's really not... I don't think it really comes down to the Xbox Live community. I mean, it just happens to be that Xbox Live is the premier online console gaming network. Right? That's where most people do their online console gaming. So it really comes down to gamers, I think. Not, you know, I think it's a little bit misleading to say this is the Xbox Live community.
And to be perfectly honest, it's even broader than that. I mean, people talked about comments on YouTube videos.
Oh, sure.
My favorite
dig.
Is if you really want to see how really awful people could be, just click on any article on AOL.com. The comments on that are like the dregs of human society.
Like on news articles or?
Yeah, anything. Any article. Just pick one at random.
I don't think I've ever read one. Well, yeah.
I'm going to go to it right now because it really is. It's the worst of the comments.
It really is a general, more general phenomena that is, I guess, best summed up by the that Penny Arcade, famous Penny Arcade comic where it basically internet anonymity leads to fuckwad. I think that's the gist of the comment. So yeah, like I said, you know, it seems like we're singling out Xbox Live, but it's really gamers who play online, I guess, and that's just how they choose. That's just the network they're using. Not that I'm trying to sugarcoat anything. I just, you know, I've had more time to think about this. Let me read another comment while you try to pull up some goodies, Wombat. I am Prozac says, those Xbox Live messages had me laughing my ass off. I've come to expect that from random people you meet online, but something about Wombat never actually having had interaction with them made it extra entertaining and sad. The whole idea that they go out of their way to insult someone they had no personal interaction with is just so laughably pathetic. I mean, not to say that it's any less pathetic, like when you play a round of Street Fighter with somebody and you beat them and then you get a message 2 minutes later, you know, basically along the lines of what you receive, Wombat. I mean, that's pretty much just as bad. But yeah, he's right. It is a little more entertaining, the fact that they chose to send you these nasty messages because they knew your name, basically.
Yeah,
that was
basically.
It. They had access to your name. That was the whole thing. It's also made me think, like, should Xbox even continue to do this gamer spotlight? Or should they warn the people? I mean, there's settings on your Xbox Live account that will block people who aren't on your friends list, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I think you could switch your stuff to friends only. I mean, the only reason why I didn't was because there were, you know, for every message that we played on the show, there was, like I said, the vast majority of them was literally just people saying hi, which is neither good nor bad. It just, but I didn't want to take that away from people.
Right, but they should maybe warn the people who are selected from the gamer spotlight that you know,
and since we did the show, I've gotten so many like friendly messages on Xbox Live. It's been crazy.
People feel bad.
I just think the people like me, but if you want to call it pity, you will go whichever way you want.
Yeah. Also, Klaatu6 wants to point out that filing a complaint on Xbox Live works. He says each complaint is looked at by someone at Microsoft, and they do investigate. Depending on the nature of the offense, users can get a warning, a week-long ban on their gamer tag, all the way up to a permanent console ban from Live. They will also report people to local authorities if it's a specific threat. Filing a complaint does have power. People like this typically have a pattern of this type of activity. A support rep on the Xbox.com forums told me that these people rarely only send one message to one person, and it's rather easy to justify banning them. These people do this because they think they are anonymous, but Microsoft has all the details from your gamer tag, where people typically have signed up with a real home and email address, and your IP address, and your ISP. And then he goes on to say, I once filed a complaint against a guy who got a week-long ban for a text message. He guessed it was me and found a thread I had posted on Xbox.com. He then threatened me on Xbox.com. The moderator granted him with a permanent console ban. Sweet justice. So, yeah, I mean, did you wind up reporting any of these people? Because I think I would have done that.
No, I didn't report anyone.
I report people. Like, and when I'm playing games. And there's people dropping N-bombs and stuff. And F-bombs, I report them. I mean, I haven't done it in a while because I don't think I've come across it.
I don't think I've played a game online in forever.
Yeah, I haven't really played like one of
but
those
that's a whole
you know,
other
big
issue
time
I have.
Multiplayer. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, you really should have reported it, I think. Let me read one last comment / question from Terp Kristen. She, right? That's a she, right?
That is, yes.
Yes. Since I think Major Nelson and some others at least pay attention to this show, has there been any response for them? I like the show, even though I was saddened and sadly unsurprised by the immaturity of those people who left Wombat messages. So, Wombat, any Xbox people feedback?
Not really. No.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
I thought you said that somebody... didn't someone was disappointed that you didn't report them or contact them?
Yeah, someone from Xbox did tweet that he was disappointed that I didn't report them, but that was about it. But I wouldn't really consider that feedback.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I guess yeah. Not. I mean, and I just want to, you know, I recently put this clip up on YouTube. Yesterday, I isolated the clip and threw it up on YouTube, and then I see that Joystick posted it today. And I just wanted to say why I put it up on YouTube. I wasn't thinking I'm like doing some great community service by putting it up there, and I'm not.
No, you just want people to go to your website.
What's that?
You just want people to go to your website.
It's on YouTube. They're not going to go to my website. You know. Basically, I dropped Ty off at daycare yesterday, and I didn't have any episodes of Howard Stern to listen to. Because I haven't updated my iPod in a while. And I had that on there, and I just re-listened to it. And I don't know, it's just, there's something very entertaining and interesting about that clip. I mean, I've listened to it maybe three or four times now in its entirety. And there's something about it, and sometimes I'll put interesting stuff from the CADcast on YouTube. And I just thought that this was another one of those things that fit the description. And if you look at the YouTube comments, people actually thanked me for putting it up there. So there it is, Wombat, and now it's on Joystick, and maybe now you'll hear from somebody from Xbox. I wouldn't be I don't know. It seems like this gamer spotlight.
I don't think it's a big deal
thing.
Either way. Honestly, at this point, it's kind of
no.
It's past.
Yeah, it was just it became an interesting and funny bit for the show. I think,
yeah, which is really my main impetus was I thought it
of
was
course.
Funny, which is why we do most course. Things on this show is because we think they're funny.
Of course. Just like, you know, the whole, you know, make up a story contest.
Exactly.
You know, and it was funny. It was really funny.
It was
some people didn't. Some people didn't think it was that funny, but yeah, a lot of people did.
Those people could lick my taint.
I don't know about that.
No?
Well,
they could. I mean, it's an open invitation.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, frankly.
Taintiest, lickiest.
Is that Harry Potter?
Yeah, it's my Harry Potter. That's the spell of the week.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Should
and
we?
And it's so hot down here. I wouldn't want to go near that region.
Oh, dude, let me tell you something. I've been having these underwear issues lately.
Yeah, so you mentioned and you posted pictures.
Well, no. Okay, so you know about I told you like most of my underwear is very old and it has holes in the bottom, and not just the ones where I put my legs in. So. I went to this store called Uniqlo in Japan, which is like, it's sort of like the Gap, but like cheaper. And
wait, Uniqlo?
Yeah, they have that in, don't they have that
in,
they might have
one
in
New York. Yeah.
Okay. So they're all over the place here. And in the past I had bought my underwear there, and I found that it was, you know, it was cheap, it was comfortable, and it fit me. And that's pretty much all that I'm looking for in a pair of underwear. So I went back there recently to buy some new ones. I think like right after I posted the pictures of my old underwear and we talked about it, I went back there and I bought three pairs of underwear. And I got home and whatever, washed them and put them on, and I realized I bought the wrong size. And also I noticed that they seem to have changed the makeup, the fabric that they used. Instead, I think they used to be all cotton, and now they're putting in some of that like, I don't know, spandex or whatever, that, you know, that non-cotton shit that's no good. Because you got to have the cotton for the breathability. So they started to cheap it up with some synthetic shit. So anyway, the shit didn't fit me. So it's like, damn, I just bought three pairs of underwear. It doesn't fit. So I went back and I bought a bigger size, came home, and they still didn't fit me. So now I have six pairs of underwear that I just bought that don't fit me. And I had thrown out a bunch of my holy underwear.
You should just return them, by the way.
I wore them and washed them.
So? They'll take it back.
So it's Japan. Nah, but this is Japan. Like, it's the return policies are weird here. Or at least that's what my wife has led me to believe.
Yeah, I think she's lying to you because no one speaks her language.
She
could tell you anything. Oh, no. They don't serve cheeseburgers in Japan. You got to order a hot dog. But it looks like a picture of a cheeseburger. No, hot dogs only.
She may not want to have to go through with the return process because she knows she would have to pretty much be the point man on that.
You know all those movies you think they're not showing in Japan? They're playing in Japan.
No, that I can look at myself. So now I have six pairs of underwear that don't fit me and have like this synthetic shit in them that is just no good. And I've thrown out a lot of my underwear. So we come back from the trip and, you know, a couple of days went by and I'm wearing this underwear and I'm starting to get like a rash. And now I realize like that's all the underwear I have left. And I keep forgetting to do laundry. And even still, like, I don't really have any good underwear. So I'm reduced to now wearing a bathing suit around the house.
Why don't you just go commando?
Because I have to sit in something. Oh, you mean just wear like a pair of shorts with no underwear?
Yeah.
Well, a bathing suit is like that.
Bathing suits are uncomfortable. They have that elasticy inside thing. I can't deal with that for more than
the netting. That's what I was relying on.
Yeah, I can't hang with the netting.
Oh, well, that's the whole point, I think.
I think so too.
Anyway, so I went to the Gap. The happy ending is I went to the Gap and I bought.
You got a happy ending at the Gap?
No, I didn't. I got three pairs of underwear for $30. That wasn't so much of a happy ending, but at least they're made of cotton and they fit. They still feel a little smaller than the American ones, but I could just be fatter. I think that's probably the.
I was going to say maybe your ass just got a little bigger.
No question about it, dude. I got to stop eating. It's really out of control. Let me do some quick CAG news-ish, if I may. Super Programmer John has informed me that the preliminary version of the CAG iPhone app is basically mostly ready. And I just signed up for like the iPhone developer corporate program or whatever that nonsense is. However, depending on how long it takes to get approved for that, we should have the CAG iPhone up, you know, within a month, I hope. Basically, the first functionality of it is going to be basically just for price searching, low price searching. And then eventually we're going to add, you know, the stuff that you can do on the site, like collections and wish lists and probably forum, some sort of forum browsing and all that good stuff. Of course, it will be free. My one big concern is whether they're going to let us use Cheap Ass Gamer as the name for the app because of the ass problems. I did notice on the iTunes store there's an app called Kick Ass, so that seemed to have gotten through, so maybe they'll allow Cheap Ass Gamer. If not, there's a thread in the news forum where you can suggest your own name, safe name. People wrote like iCag, Cheap App Gamer, and I don't know. I think we got a hope for
Cheap App Gamer. That's cute. It's clever.
It's cute. It's cute. That might be a good follow-up one or a backup one. Should we go on to the new releases, Wombat?
Let's. I can't click on links because that seems to mess up the Skype, so tell me what's coming out this week.
What do you want, a 1200-baud modem over there?
Oh, it's crazy here. I don't know. I think it's the heat.
The heat is messing up your internet connection.
Yes, I blame the heat.
Okay, well, this week...
I know we got Maddens.
It looks like that's all we got. We got Madden, which... are you getting Madden? You're a football guy.
I'm not going to get Madden. I haven't picked up Madden in forever. I don't... I'm excited for football season. I'm all ready for fantasy football. No. But, I will not be picking up Madden.
All right. Well, me neither. Shipwreck said he's got a contact at EA now, sending him Madden for free.
Yeah, I know. So, you know,
he's
maybe
a big shot now.
I say in a week when he's bored of it, maybe he'll send me his copy.
Is he a football kind of guy?
He is. He's in my fantasy league. He's in two fantasy leagues, though. Because you're not into football, you don't understand. We get different games because he's in Cincinnati and I'm in New York. And we will usually chat on Instant Messenger about what's going on in our games. to each other to give the illusion of watching two football games at once. That is called football nerdery at its best, by the way.
That is pretty nerdtastic.
It is nerdtastic, but whatever.
Let's see what else. Yeah, I guess if you like football, it's good. Let's see what else we got. We got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the PlayStation 3, a PSN. And Trials HD for the Xbox 360. Is the
I keep wanting to call this game Trails.
It's not, but it is a motorcycle game.
I know. So. I'm like, oh, it's Trails, like a motorcycle trail. No, it's Trials, like a motorcycle trial.
Right.
Which is when a motorcycle goes to court.
Right. But I don't think that happens ever.
No? There's no motorcycle court?
I don't think so. And I think that's all, that's about it for this week. It's a pretty slow week. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's been a slow summer. A cruel summer.
Right. Not here. Let's do some game shopping news, Wombat. Best of the Sunday ad deals. A few things that are worth mentioning, which I'm waiting for my website to come up. Here it is. let's see. Target is blowing out DS lights. I don't know if you call this a blowout, but they're $99, which is a good deal. Also, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for the DS is $20 at Target. And they also have a bunch of $44 games. They're all fairly new releases, like UFC Undisputed 09, Fight Night Round 4, and Tiger Woods 10. Some of the highlights there. Toys R Us, if you're looking to pick up Madden, the new Madden, you get a $15 gift card at Toys R Us on all versions except the DS version. And if you're a Rewards R Us member, you get an additional $10 gift card if you buy the guide. So you can basically get the, I don't know, what's the guide, like $15 or something?
Yeah.
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 Toys R Us also has a 40% off sale on select games. And if you buy an Xbox 360 Elite, you get a free $50 gift card and a free 1,600 point card. So that's pretty good.
Not a bad deal, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It all depends on when you think the price drop is coming. And there have been a lot of rumors about price drops. Rumors about...
It is that time of year.
Yeah, we'll see, though. Let's move right on to the multi-platforming segment. We were just talking about Madden. I saw this story on Destructoid. It's about the new Madden being loaded with microtransactions. Oh, wait, one thing I forgot to mention.
Ah!
Combat. Do you know what I forgot to mention?
I have no idea, but you'll tell me
that,
now.
It was another story that got a lot of had a lot of legs that originated on CAG, and that was at Best Buy, at least one location. Although I heard that there was a location in Ohio, a Shipwreck's local Best Buy was doing this too, but I don't know.
Yeah, the price matching, basically for those who don't know, Best Buy is going to be price matching used game prices on new games. So say you get... GameStop games tend to be $5 less used. Best Buy will sell you a new copy of the same game for that price.
Right, and Game Crazy as well. Did you talk to Shipwreck about it? Did he say it was definitely at his?
Yeah, he said it was definitely at his. And you know, also, you know, I put this on my section, but Michael Pachter says that he thinks that this will fail, that Best Buy can't afford to cut into their game profits that much. For those who don't know, the profit margin on video games is very small. For the retail outlets.
Yeah, maybe they just figure, you know, screw making a profit on the games, let's just use it to get people in the store, and, you know, maybe they'll buy something else.
Well, I think that the rationale also would be, hey, I'm saving $5, I'm going to buy that $10 CD now, or that $10 DVD.
Right.
So now you spend $5 more than you planned on, which is actually probably very reasonable, because I know there have been many times when I'm in the Best Buy looking at games, and I say, ooh, what, a Blu-ray for $10? I need First Blood on Blu-ray.
Right. The weird thing is that I saw, like, some of the, you know, the game blogs. They contacted Best Buy, and Best Buy said it was only at this one location in Utah. But clearly that's not the case. If Shipwreck says, you know, Shipwreck's never wrong, right?
Nah, he's never been wrong ever.
No, So there you go. Okay, so I forgot about that little bit for game shopping news. But we were talking about the new Madden and how it's just filled with microtransactions, all optional microtransactions. Like, you know, if you want to buy, you know, the good scouts for your franchise, you can buy them. You pay for it. If you want to buy, you know, a boost for your players, for your, this seems to be all like for the franchise mode, you know, single player. You can basically buy, it's basically like cheat codes. You're buying cheat codes again. You know, if
which
you
is what they
buy,
do for all of their sports games at this point.
I know. It's like, so, I don't know how I feel about it at this point. Like, I'm almost getting, like, you know, I've been beaten over the head with it so much that the outrage is almost gone at this point.
I'm going to say, you know what, if it's only in single player and you don't need it in any way other than to cheat, then I really could care less. Then the only right. loser is the person that buys them.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. Let's see what else we got in multi-platforming. Oh, Wombat, I know you're very excited about this. The Batman Arkham Asylum demo has come out on both the PS3 and the 360. Everybody is dying to hear what you think about the Batman demo.
Not only did I played it on both consoles to see which one I preferred.
Well, why don't you answer that question first?
Well, for all intents and purposes, the game is completely identical on both consoles. There is something, though, about that off-kilter analog that you have on the Xbox 360 controller that I do prefer. So it's right. more of a – if you're going strictly based on the demos, I guess I preferred the Xbox one because I preferred the control scheme. Because there's a lot of button pushes in that game.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I did see on some website, I forgot the name, they did a comparison video to compare the graphics. They said the 360 version is a little bit better, but really,
you can't go wrong. But the PlayStation right. 3 one has the exclusive Joker stuff,
right? Which is you know, it's interesting. That strategy seemed to have worked because you know on the CAG there, I can look to see what people are pre-ordering from different retailers, which versions and which games and stuff, and almost always on a multiplayer game, the 360 version.
Game.
I'm sorry, multi-platform game. The 360 version crushes the PS3 version. And with the Amazon pre-orders, it's the PS3 version actually has a slight lead over the 360 version, which is basically unheard of.
Well, you know, you get more content for free. It's kind of hard to say no to that. And right. did you play the demo?
I did, twice, actually.
Yeah. It looks great. I'm not super thrilled with some of the character models. I don't necessarily like Jim Gordon on steroids. That's a little.
Yeah, why
much.
Is he so jacked up? Well, I think they're going for like the Batman animated series. Like he was pretty.
Hefty. No, he never looked like that in Batman the Animated. It looks like It looks like Batman designed by Gears of War. Is what the game looks like.
I guess so. Yeah.
Everyone's on steroids. Batman's costume has rivets. I posted a tweet. I said, why does Batman's costume look like it was designed by Oshkosh Bagosh?
It's, you know, it's got to be bolted on, I guess.
I don't know. It's very strange. But then again, for the most part, the game itself is pretty awesome. I mean, you know,
yeah.
that when you finally get to what I'm assuming the game is really all about, that one big room at the end of the demo.
Yeah. Where you're swinging from gargoyle to gargoyle
yeah,
in the ceiling and then dropping
taking
down
out
on
the five guards without being seen. I mean, it's pretty badass. And they do it without making it, you know, I don't know how the full game plays, but in the demo, it's, you know, it's not frustrating. And to make a game that's stealth without it being frustrating, without it feel like you're waiting,
mm-hmm.
that's because I hate that. I hated the one thing I always never liked about Splinter Cell was waiting around. Like, I didn't play
really,
a game
yeah,
to wait 2 minutes to do something.
It's really hard to make a good stealth game. It's really hard.
Yeah, and again,
they're almost always too frustrating.
The other thing I could see about this game, and again, we don't have it, so we don't know, is I could see you getting very reliant on the detective vision, which is really cool when you first turn it on. But again, like Splinter Cell and Night Vision, it's like we crafted these beautifully detailed worlds with rich colors and textures, but all you're going to see are green wireframes for the next 8 hours, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, how are we going to see the rivets?
Exactly, if all I ever have on is detective mode.
I'm also concerned that it's going to be a little repetitive if I'm just going from room to room, swinging from gargoyle to gargoyle, dropping down on people. Like, I don't know how many hours I can do
I think
for.
That it'll probably feel, and I've heard this comparison from people other than me, it does have a very Bioshock kind of feel to it.
Okay.
And I think that if you throw in a few varied set pieces where the landscape itself, the actual level where you are, will play as just important a role as the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
That could add a lot to it, and I think some really inventive boss fights, which, it being Batman, there should be boss fights aplenty.
Should, yeah, cool. I mean, I've already ordered it, so I'm definitely, you know, it didn't concern me too much, obviously, so...
No, I mean, the demo's great. If you haven't played it, go now, download it, play it. But, yeah, I mean, all my complaints are nitpicky, so...
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's good. We were looking forward to that. Here's a couple of items. They both came about through job listings, and this also relates to Batman as well, because Rocksteady is the development company that made the new Batman game. Looks like they're also working on the new Hitman game. This actor, Mark Sloan, on his resume says that he's going to basically be in Hitman 5, developed by Rocksteady. That would be cool, because that Batman engine, that looks good.
Yeah, it's a nice looking engine. If anything comes out of that, if you know, Eidos has a great third person action engine that they could, you know, start making great games based off of, like Hitman.
Shit. I mean, I loved the last Hitman game. I thought it was awesome. And if it looked like Batman, I mean, that's all you need. It'd be beautiful.
The only difference is three letters.
Right, exactly.
It took you a second.
That's good news. The other job listing revelation.
Actually, I stand corrected. The only difference is two letters.
That's right.
I'm not very smart myself.
Somebody send Wombat a mean message telling him how stupid he is. Quick. there was a job listing for Mortal Kombat saying that basically the next Mortal Kombat game is going to be, here's the quote from the job listing, Warner Brothers is looking to position Mortal Kombat as the gold standard for network play, and it's going to push the boundaries of what is possible with online interaction, with brand new features that will revolutionize online play. So that sounds interesting.
It's going to be the Mortal Kombat MMO.
They need to make it so like you can make your own character and your own fatalities. That would be awesome. That would
I think it's
going to
be, an MMOK?
Although the last Soul Calibur game, I think, kind of did that. But, hey, it'll be more fun in Mortal Kombat when you're pulling people's spines out. Or if you can customize your own fatalities. I mean, you could, just, you know, the sky's the limit. You could lick Wombat's taint.
In Mortal Kombat and in real life.
Taintality. Right. You got to be careful of those taintalities.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to be an MMO. It's going to be like a open world, and you just walk around. And if you want to fight someone, you just bump into them and say, want to fight?
That would be cool. I like that. And if you don't want to fight, you can do friendships.
Yes, and you can make friendships. And that would be like your clan or your party.
Yeah. Friendship. I played so much Mortal Kombat in college. I can't even tell you. Mortal Kombat...
Two.
Oh, God. Two, I think. Yeah, two on Super Nintendo. I was so good at it, too. Super Nintendo? Yeah, it must have been Super Nintendo.
Excellent.
Let's see what else we got in the... We're still in multi-platforming, Wombat. There's some Guitar Hero news that was interesting. The first bit is about the Guitar Hero 5 song importing process. What's that all about?
Okay, so if you bought Guitar Hero World Tour and one of the other ones, I forget which one.
Smash Hits, maybe?
Right? Yeah, Smash Hits. Supposedly in that instruction booklet is a code, which up until now has had no use. Well, when you get Guitar Hero 5, it'll prompt you to enter that code, and it will download all the songs from the game. So you don't need to swap discs, and you have all the songs on World
Tour.
Right.
I see. And I guess there are new versions of the songs to take advantage of the new Guitar Hero 5 features.
I guess so. And there will be a nominal licensing fee if it's similar to Rock Band. What Rock Band
$5,
did,
right?
Probably might be around, but they haven't announced it yet.
I see. Okay.
Which is
and the other.
Cool.
It's good. It's yeah, definitely. I mean, but how come? Okay. Well, this brings me to our next topic here. The other good news, if you're interested in Guitar Hero, is that if you buy Guitar Hero 5, you'll get Guitar Hero Van Halen for free.
If you buy Guitar Hero 5 in September, you get a voucher to mail in, and they will mail you Van Halen prior to its release date in December. Exactly when, I don't know. Maybe November, but you get it early.
Now, here's the million-dollar question. Why are they... I mean, it seems ridiculous for any number of reasons that they're going to be mailing out copies of Guitar Hero Van Halen. Why can't they just put all those songs as DLC and let people download them?
It may be similar to, I mean, wasn't it, didn't Aerosmith not want their songs downloadable? Wasn't that like part of the whole?
Was it? I don't know.
I feel like that story came out when that happened a year ago.
Oh, I don't remember. Or maybe they have some other contractual obligation that prevents
I think there may be some sort of contractual obligation with the artist where they have to be on a disc. Again, I could be making this completely up and pulling it out of my taint, but...
Right.
But it sounds reasonable, so I'm going to go with it.
It's weird to me because, first of all, it would save them so much money not having to mail those games out. And second of all, I mean, who wants to switch discs between Guitar Hero 5 and Guitar Hero Van Halen? I mean, it sucks. So, I don't know. I'm scratching my head, Wombat, but maybe your taint is right. Let us move on to Microsoft. I thought this was interesting, Wombat. Why don't you read a couple of these here?
Okay. You and I both complained about this, and the reason why there is a limit to the friends list on your Xbox 360 is because of Halo 2.
No. It's because of backwards compatibility.
Well, I thought it was... Well, yes, backwards compatibility. They're blaming it on... I thought it had to do with the Halo 2 friends list.
Well, it says that all the original Xbox games... are limited to 100 friends. It's built into the games, I guess, or the system. I'm not sure. But because people are still playing Halo 2 a lot, I guess, they don't want to change it for the Xbox. They can't change it for the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't affect... It has nothing to do with backwards compatible games that don't have multiplayer.
Right. I guess that's it.
So that's where our confusion would lie between each other.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, is that enough of a reason to not expand the list? What do you think?
Let's see here. There's a poll on... We got this from Joystick, and there's a poll on Joystick. Should Microsoft kill Halo 2 online support in favor of more Xbox 360 friends? 49% said yes. And 22% said no. And why did they have this third option? It totally screwed up the poll. I don't want excuses. I just want more friends on my 360. 28%. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's time, I guess. But, I mean, will that really improve things if you had, like, a no friends limit? I mean...
I don't know. How many friends do you think we'd have on our list? Do you think you're popular enough to max out 200 friends?
I have a lot on... I have, like, over 1,000 on Facebook. And it's not because I'm soliciting them. It's just people, you know, say, "Hey, I love your site. I love the CADcast. Be my friend." So yeah, I think I would, you know, easily fill that. Certainly.
Like I said, I guess I do. I have 20 as of today. I have 2,600 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, and I have like almost 5,000.
So I guess
I'm sure we could get 1,000. I'm sure I could get 1,000 easily, but.
But that would probably slow down your console a bit.
Oh God, I can't even imagine. You push the guide button and just smoke would just start coming out.
Four comments were left about how full of ourselves we are, by the way.
Right, of course. I saw that coming as the words were coming out of my mouth.
I know.
This was interesting too, Wombat. It looks like Xbox has the exclusive relationship with Netflix for their instant watch service on consoles.
Yeah, well, I know that there was some rumblings about it coming to the Wii possibly, and I guess this puts the kibosh on that rumor.
I would guess so.
Kibosh.
I guess so. Kibosh. Well, of course, also, you know, speaking of Netflix, you've got the new dashboard launched for everybody, as we mentioned earlier. And one of the big features is the Netflix party. Okay. Or is it just through... It's just through Netflix, right, that you can do that? It looks like.
Yeah.
It's not. So this actually ties in with one of the Twitter questions from Super Pack,
who is from the Player One podcast.
Right. He wanted to know... You didn't write this one down, but I swear I saw this on my Twitter page. He wanted to know what we thought was the most useless feature of the new of the new dashboard. And I think the movie parties has got to be one of them. I mean, because you wind up watching the movie, right, in a little window.
Yeah, no, that's stupid.
I would just want the voice chat. I don't need to see my avatars. If there's an option that you can just have it full screen and not have to watch the avatars, then that's fine. That's cool. That's a good feature. But, yeah, I don't think we need to see our avatars on the bottom of the screen and miss out.
And I know I'll probably get flack for it, but I really hate the paid avatar clothes. Like, I hate the fact
that they even exist?
That they exist.
Why?
It's an option. Why does it bother? They're charging for some outfits $5. The lightsaber is $5. It's 400 Microsoft points.
Wow. But, you don't have to buy it.
I know I don't have to buy it, but I find it an insult. Like, that's how little they think of us, that they're going to charge us $5 for a lightsaber that most people will never see and that you can't use for anything.
Well, you know, you can make fun of it. If you see somebody holding a lightsaber on your friends list, you can send them harassing messages.
And I might just. I mean, some of it is just, I mean, it's just pointless. Like, cut off jeans, $1. A pair of boots for $2. Not even like character boots, but just boots.
Just boots. Fake boots. Hey, I mean, they want to make money. You can't blame them for making money, I guess. And if people are silly enough.
I'm paying. We pay enough in our gold member. Gold membership should come with like 3 free clothes downloads a year.
That would be nice.
Wouldn't it? I mean, so no, I am paying for the service already.
Right.
To charge for this is, I mean, and Sony does it also in home, but I don't, does anyone buy any of that crap?
I don't know. I haven't been back in home in a long time.
I've never been back since the day it first came out, and I will probably never be back in the Avatar content store
again either.
So
yeah, it does seem
I find it an insult, really.
You're personally insulted.
Yes.
All right. Well, it doesn't bother me that much. I think it's kind of silly. I do like the fact that you can, by getting achievements, you can get new clothes for your avatar. I think that's very cool.
That's great.
Has Sony done that yet? Didn't Sony announce that at two E3s ago or maybe more that they're going to be doing that? Have they ever actually implemented that?
I have no idea. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
There was a thing where you could get a couch from Chris Angel Mind Freak, but
great.
Yeah.
All I did with couches when I was in PlayStation Home for 2 days or however long I tried it for it was I tried to embed the couches in the ceiling because you could get them to sort of warp through the ceiling and hang from the ceiling. That's what I was doing in PlayStation Home.
That's really exciting.
Anything else we need to deal with on Microsoft? Oh, well, the new Games on Demand stuff is up. I was just looking through it before we got on here. I don't know if it's I'm going to be region locked out of it, how it works. It looks like the 1 versus 100 stuff is region locked to your console. It's not based on IP address because I can use my American 360 here and get on 1 versus 100, but not the Japanese one. So I wonder if it's going to be the same way with the on-demand games. Frisky Tanuki had some questions and comments to make about it, which might be worth addressing. He wanted to know basically what we thought about the pricing of the games on demand, especially when it comes to the older games from the 360 launch and the year or so after that. Games like Call of Duty 2, Rockstar's Table Tennis, and Rainbow Six Vegas are $30, and it seems like age doesn't really factor into the pricing as much as it should. When was the last time you saw any of these games or others in that time frame, such as Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero, Prey, actually in stock at a brick-and-mortar store and new? At this point, retailers don't even carry these or care about these games anymore, and that should allow for cheaper pricing if the publishers want that. Do you see any situations where you would buy any of these games at their current prices, or what they should do to get you to bite on something? The only thing that, when I looked through the initial launch list, the only thing that I saw that I was remotely interested in was Mass Effect, even though I already played through it and finished it, because I lent my copy to somebody, and I don't know when I'm ever going to see it again. But everything else sort of looked, and it was $20. Everything else, yeah, I don't know. There wasn't a lot of value there to be had. You know, who's going to buy Cameo for $20? I mean,
how much is that used these days?
It's got to be like $4. I mean, I paid $5 for it here in Tokyo.
I got mine for free when my first Xbox died.
Oh, really? They sent you that? Yeah, I'm looking it up right now on GameStop. Let's see if they even have it. All right, it's $10 used on GameStop, and you know, after discounts and stuff, it's, you know, you're picking that up for less. So yeah, I mean, the pricing. Look, they're not. Microsoft has never been great about their downloadable content pricing. I mean,
they're charging $5 for a lightsaber.
Right, they're charging $5 for a lightsaber. Their sales have never really. I mean, with a few exceptions, their sales on Xbox Live Arcade and their marketplace in general have never been as good as PlayStation Network. So it's not surprising that their pricing is not really competitive with the retail versions, which is unfortunate. I mean, if you want to, it depends how, you know, I guess they don't want to offend their retail partners too much. So this is what we're going to get.
But for older games, I mean, Frisky Tanuki has a point. For older games that they're not stocking anymore, why not sell Cameo for 800 Microsoft points? Why not? What could they possibly have to lose other than making some money? Because otherwise, no one's buying.
And getting people to try the service. They see a good deal, they're going to try out the service.
Exactly. Or in Cameo's a good game. Damn it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I looked at, I saw they had the new Viva Pinata, or, you know, the second one. I guess it's not that new anymore. And I was like, you know what? I'd really like the first Viva Pinata. I might want to pick that up. Check the price. It was $20. It was $30. You know, that game is like $20 pretty much everywhere. I see it's, yeah. So, I don't know. Got to fix that, Microsoft.
F that.
Yeah, they don't feel
F like it in the A.
Right. What else, Wombat? What else we got in Microsoft?
Well, this, I guess this is also PC, but according to Joystick, they're going to be releasing a Game of the Year edition for Fallout 3 in October, which will have all 5 downloadable content packs.
All 5? Wow.
All 5. Now, I don't know how much it's going to cost or if that's really how it's going to come be all fancy-like, but... that's something. I mean, if that's $60, that's a great deal.
It's listed at $60 right now on GameStop, and I think Amazon as well.
So, yeah.
So you get all the downloadable content?
Well, according to what they're showing here, it would when you could pick up the previously announced Fallout 3 Game of the Year, which bundles the game with all 5 DLC packs.
Wow.
And to be perfectly honest, this game is... I love Fallout 3. I played it.
I got
to
go back and play it.
I played it last night. I sat down, and my wife went to bed early, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity and play some sort of video game. And I have a stack of games that I haven't finished, literally a stack that's almost as tall as my couch. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go play Fallout 3. I got overwhelmed with the games I needed to finish. Then I played a game I already finished.
That's interesting. It's almost worth, like, if they did this, like, on demand, you know, like, you know, so you could download the game and get the Game of the Year edition, I might consider buying it again just so I don't have to put the disc in and get all the DLC. It wouldn't
be
that
outrageous of an
idea.
Well, if you get all the
DLC,
you only have to put in one disc.
No. I'm saying just for the convenience of being able to play Fallout without having to put a disc in.
Yeah, that's a little extreme lazy.
But think about it. All that DLC. How much does all that DLC cost? There's 5 packs, right? They're all $10.
Yeah, it's $50. Although right. There was Operation Anchorage was on sale for like 7 not too long ago.
Right. But, big whoop. Okay. Sony. Not a lot of Sony news this week. I had a very difficult time trying to track something down. I did download the patch for Fat Princess and tried it out, and I still got lag. I still got the snail on the bottom of my screen. I was able to get into a game much easier, but I still got that snail.
I played in the cheap ass gamer Fat Princess Night last Wednesday.
Oh, how was that?
It was a good time. I lost every time, but what can you do? And you know, it's a fun game. It's a little chaotic, although
yeah,
I may try to play
like
again. I don't know what. Well, it depends on what time I get home from the video game event I'm going to tomorrow.
Secret.
But if I get home in time, I will be able to try out my new PlayStation 3 headset. So,
oh, you got the official Sony PS3 headset?
Yes, my Target finally decided to have a clearance aisle for video games. And
oh, nice.
hidden behind some boxes was the $22 End War with headset. So
that is awesome. And you know there was a keg there that hit it probably. To come back and get it later.
So I snagged that. So for $22.48 if I want to be.
That is an awesome deal. The headset's really nice.
Microsoft had something. I did sync it up so I know it works. And yeah, I have N War sitting in the plastic.
N War is supposed to be fun too.
I'm sure it is fun. Who knows? Maybe I'll play it after I play Ghostbusters, Bionic Commando, Call of Juarez, Red Faction, Killzone 2, Fear 2, Resistance 2, Dead Space.
So you have a little bit of a backlog.
Force Unleashed.
Iron Man. I got a backlog too.
Oh, it's crazy. It's what happens when you have to work and have a baby and are tired constantly.
Right. HBob5 had a question for us about Sony. He wanted to know what I thought about the PS3 HD porn service that Japan is getting, which is interesting. I didn't even know about this until HBob dropped a porn bomb on me. So basically, you need an HDMI cable. Okay, I think I have that, yeah. And, you can download Japanese high-definition porn movies. I think you have to do it through their website. It comes down to your
Whose website? PS3. The porn company's website?
DDM.TV. I don't know, I guess that's how you find the... I'm looking on Kotaku right now. It says, before downloading the movies for a fee, users must log onto the DMM.TV Blu-ray website and can search for titles by keywords, actress, and genre. The problem is that Japanese porn is just terrible. It's awful. It's censored.
I say, they blur out the naughty bits?
They blur out the naughty bits. The women are always crying as they're having sex. It sucks. It sucks. I would never pay for Japanese porn, and I'd probably never pay for porn anyway.
I wouldn't pay for American porn. So
no, I mean there's so many websites where you can just stream it for free, and you know, like I said before, like I've downloaded some HD porn before. You don't really need to see porn in HD. So in fact, you know, a lot of these women, you know, they're on their back all day, so they got like zits on their ass and stuff. You don't need to see that. You don't need to see that in HD. You're better off just with the standard def. Sometimes bad quality is your friend, Wombat.
I agree.
Let's move on to Nintendo. What is this, Wombat? Nintendo patents horseback riding controller. This sounds like a very Japanese thing to me.
Did you look at the picture? It's very funny looking.
I will look at it right now. Well, you know, like horse racing games are very popular in Japan.
You know, they're also very popular at Dave & Buster's. So it doesn't surprise me that they would make this.
Oh, here it is. Look at that. That's interesting. It's a little chair with a... It just looks like a chair.
Yeah, it doesn't look all that spectacular. It looks like a cake with a handle.
Right.
But,
Check this out.
Ah!
When I was at my vacation, they had an arcade at the resort. And they had this thing called Desperado. I don't know. Maybe they have this at Dave & Buster's. I don't know. It seems like the type of thing they would have there. It's this room that you go into. And there's a big screen up. And in the room, there's like 20 horses with guns attached to them. And you basically sit on the horse. And the horses move up and down during the game. And you're watching on the screen. You're watching, you know, you have like cowboys shooting at you. And you're riding the horse, and you have a light gun, and you're shooting back. But, of course, your horse is bouncing up and down while you're doing it, making it much more difficult. I thought it was a lot of fun, actually. I did it with Mrs. Jeepy, and I kicked her ass, obviously.
Sounds like fun
to me. It was. I have a picture of it. I'll post that with the show in the bonus footage. And it was cool because, like, at the end of each round, there's cameras in the place, and they take a picture of you, like, as you're shooting, and it shows it on the big screens, all the other people that are playing. You know, of course, and you get a score, and it tells you what place you're in. It's called, what did I say? It was called Desperado. Yeah, very, very fun.
My wife took a whole bunch of pictures of me at the beach with the baby.
Yeah.
And she put them all up on her Facebook, and then I made her take them all down. because it looks like my baby's being attacked by some sort of giant whale sand creature.
Some giant hairy whale sand creature?
Yeah, very pale hairy whale sand creature.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Okay, oh, so it's an inflatable seat with a pocket for the Wii remote, which is used to sense movements using the... Oh, God. So you're basically bouncing up and down on this inflatable seat to make your horse go. That sounds absolutely terrifyingly awful.
It does. And they'll probably charge like $80 for an inflatable chair.
Right. Well, it's got a pocket. Don't forget that pocket.
That's true. This pocket's... That's development.
Right. In other Nintendo news, it looks like the DSi is selling faster than the DS and the DS Lite and the Wii. They've already sold almost 7 million DSIs worldwide. So that's Nintendo can do no wrong. So who are we to laugh at their inflatable horse thingy?
Elitist douchebags.
We're nobody. Elitist douchebags, right. I wanted to do a couple of quick iPhone game reviews because I was on vacation. I had a little chance to play some more iPhone. Two games. The first is Space Invaders Infinity Gene.
I love that five guy.
You love Infinity Gene?
Yeah, Infinity Gene, the dancing machine. He's awesome.
He is good. He dances for a long time. Some might say forever.
I don't get it.
This is one of the more expensive iPhone games. It's $5. But I gotta say, and you know, it gets to be ridiculous because you're used to paying a dollar for a game. So then when a $5 game comes out, you're like, oh my God, it's $5. And then you realize that it's really only $5.
Might as well be $1 billion. Why would I spend $5 for an iPhone game when I could just as easily buy a lightsaber?
Right. Or you could buy, think of how many boots you could buy.
That would be 2.5 pairs.
2.5 pairs of virtual boots. But back to Space Invaders Infinity Gene. It's a really well done game. The main driving force behind this version of Space Invaders is that as you play through the game, you evolve the game. That's the whole Infinity Gene. So like when you first start playing, it's sort of like standard Space Invaders. You move the little guy at the bottom of the screen just only left and right, and you're shooting the little missile up. But as you play through the game, you unlock different weapons. You unlock the ability to move in any direction. You can move totally all around the screen, not just left and right. You unlock, like I say, different weapons. You can take any song that you have on your iPod and play it through the game, and it makes a custom level for you based on that song, which is a lot of fun. I don't know. I thought it was really good. I don't feel like I was ripped off spending $5 for it. If you have any interest in like a Space Invaders, definitely check it out. I mean, I also like the Xbox Live Arcade release and the DS and PSP releases as well. But they're different. They're different games, but they're all good. The other game I bought is called Baseball Sluggers Home Run Race 3D, which was recommended to me by a lot of people, none of whom I can remember. This one is only $1, but it's pretty interesting. It's basically a head-to-head home run derby with RPG elements. The main point of the game is you play head-to-head with people online, and the cool thing is you don't need to be on Wi-Fi. You can do it over the cellular service, and it works great. Like I said, it's a head-to-head home run derby. So there's basically a meter, like a fight meter on the top of the screen. And, you know, as you hit more home runs, the meter fills up. And the first to get to fill their meter wins. Excuse me. I just filled my meter with disgusting burps. As you win games, you earn gold balls. And you use those gold balls to unlock outfits for your player. New bats, hats, shoes, all kinds of different stuff, and it makes your player better. It's really simple and fun, and the control is really cool. It's you tilt the screen to move your bat around, and then you just touch anywhere on the screen to swing. And it does this cool thing that it resets the position after every pitch, So, like, if you change how you're holding the iPhone, it's always centered based on, you know, where you've been holding it at the time of the pitch. So, very nice Baseball Slugger Home Run Race 3D. Recommend both of the games today. And it's only a buck, like I said. Just check that out, Wombat. And there's, like, a friends list, so you can easily find your friends. We should go head-to-head.
Okay.
You don't sound that excited about that.
Whatever. Sounds like fun. Sure, sure. iPhone game.
Okay. Wombat, it is time for you to shine with your own section that we call... What do we call it?
I have no idea. We didn't come up with a name.
All right. Wombat's News and Stuff.
The Wombat Cave.
Right. I'm that.
Wombat's News of the World.
Yep.
Wombat's
Take it away.
Wombat's Playhouse.
Take it away.
With Lawrence Fishburne. Huh? Oh, we're going?
Yes.
Okay. Did you read about the Grin layoffs?
No.
Well, the folks at Grin, the company that made Bionic Commando and Terminator Salvation, that game that came out, and Wanted Weapons of Fate. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They are laying off the majority of their company, and it looks like they're about to fold.
That's quite a resume they have there.
Well, you know, and a lot of people seem... what's interesting is, you know, you look at it, and people are like, oh, that's really sad. And then it's kind of like, just like you said, you know, why are they closing?
Right.
They've released a series of games that haven't sold or, you know, weren't very good. I think Terminator Salvation was one of the worst-reviewed games of the year. And
Bionic Commando is supposed to be okay.
I have, you know, Bionic Commando, and I actually haven't opened it up. But from what I've heard, it's mixed at best.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's an average. Sounds like about an average game, yeah.
But, I mean, the question is, in this marketplace, in this day and age of, I think gamers are becoming maybe more educated on their purchases? Can a studio survive without releasing a great game?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, well, also, those licenses aren't particularly strong anymore. Bionic Commando is not exactly a home run license anymore. And I don't think Wanted, that movie Wanted, was exactly a huge hit
either. Well,
it
came out a year after the movie did.
Right, that was smart.
Bionic Commando was delayed twice, I believe. I mean, it was supposed to come out last summer along the same time as the XBLA game.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come out until, what was it, May?
Yeah, not good enough.
And it sold 27,000 copies in May.
Right, nice.
And, I mean, you feel bad. You do feel bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's awful when anyone loses their job. But
it is survival of the fittest out there.
If
it's a
company's not making, if the company's not making games that people want, I don't know what else to say.
You say bye-bye. Better luck next time.
Yeah.
What else you got, Wombat?
Did you hear about the, did you hear the one about, you familiar with Bobby Kotick?
Yes, he is the CEO of Activision, and I guess the latest controversy is that he said that he would prefer if games cost more money, right?
Well, yes, that would be because
he could charge more money.
He did make he only made $14,950,102 in 2008, so obviously he is strapped for cash.
So he needs a little more revenue.
He needs a little more revenue. I guarantee you that they're going to lose more money when they lay him off at the end of 2009 than they will on all the peripheral games that he greenlit this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of what's it called? StarCraft got delayed, right? So StarCraft's not coming. The one sure thing for them, StarCraft is not coming out this year.
Unless that's just pirated.
No,
it's PC.
Maybe.
No,
but you can't play that without Battle.net. So
I know it'll be very interesting to see how well these games do. How well these five peripheral games? Is it five that they're releasing?
It's Guitar Hero 5, Guitar Hero, Band Hero. Is that just called Band Hero, or is it called Guitar Hero?
It's called Band Hero. So we got Guitar
Hero. So Band Hero 5,
Guitar
Hero 5, DJ Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Hawk Ride.
And does Van Halen come with a guitar?
That I don't know.
Okay, so four or five games with peripherals.
Right.
And,
I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I mean, at least they could do it the way that they're going to do it with Modern Warfare 2, where they're having Mad Catz license peripherals for that game.
Right.
Which would be the last thing on my thing. The last
you may
thing
also,
on my
I
thing.
Mean, do you count the Modern Warfare 2 $150 edition with the goggles? I mean, that's sort of plastic.
No, because that's not required to play the game.
Right, that's true. That's true.
Like you, I don't think you can play Tony Hawk without that skateboard, and you can't play DJ Hero without the turntable.
Nope.
At least you can play Guitar Hero with your old instruments, but it still doesn't mean how many are they going to make with the instruments. How many of those are going to be sitting on shelves?
Right, a lot.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how that turns out.
Yep. I'm looking through. I just went to GameStop, and I just sorted. I'm looking at all the Activision games, sorted by highest to lowest price. They got a lot of stuff. They have like three pages of stuff that it's over $100. It's pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
Yep. Okay. What else we got?
We could choose a couple.
You mentioned those, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty basically it. You know, it's
show us our tweets.
We got some tweets to talk about.
Tweeties.
Monster Mac wants to know several sites link game delays to the poor economy, not competition. And that there will be better sales in 2010. Do we think that game sales are going to pick up in 2010, or do we think the delays are based on competition? There's been a lot of game delays in the last week or so.
Couldn't it just be that the games aren't done?
That's quite possible. I'm going to go with, I mean, last year there were a lot of games that got killed during the holiday season. You know, Prince of Persia.
No, I mean, it's so stupid. You got to be smart about it, right? I mean, If your game doesn't have Halo in the title, or you know a game of that type of recognition, don't release it alongside a game that does have that type of recognition.
Well, I think it's
common sense.
I think a lot of it also, and I think this is the mistake that they're going to find. All these games that have been pushed to Q1 2010, so
right,
possibly between January, February, March of next year. When really the time where these games should have been released, if possible, would have been around now.
Maybe, yeah, but they're just not done. So,
well, that's really it. Is how not done are these games? If these games are
pretty not done,
yeah, or even but at this point it's too late. I think that the summer release, the summer game release. I think we need to see more games in the summer.
Yeah, it is. I think it's fine. I mean, why not release more games during the summer? I'm sure people will buy them, and you'll be all alone. Look what came out this week, Madden, and that's it.
And the thing is also, you sell your game in the summer, and you get as many of those, first month sales that you can for full price, and then you drop the price around holiday time.
And now it's looking like a good deal.
And now it's looking like
Stocking stuffer.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I know your kid wants Halo 32.5. For $60, and we know you're going to buy it for him. But don't forget, Bad Company 4 came out, over the summer, and he wanted that, but he was at camp, and now he's back, and now it's $30. How excited he'll be when he gets both.
Right. Exactly. And he gets his taint licked. Which is the gift that keeps on giving.
It is. Preferably by Master Chief.
Right. That's good. Yeah. All right. Anything else in the Twitter area?
I think that, let's see, any other good... I don't know if you heard about this. I'm sure you didn't, but a few people mentioned this. But Dan Hacker, what are my thoughts on the guy who pranked Rob Liefeld at the Wizard World, I think Philadelphia or Chicago?
Can I ask a stupid question?
Who is he?
Right.
He is a comic book artist that is not well liked by comic book fans.
Why is that?
He was given the task to reimagine a handful of comic book characters, and the job he did was not very good. If you want to look up, it's a Captain America Reborn, I believe, is what he worked on.
Oh, okay.
And, it wasn't particularly good. I didn't like it. I'm not that big a fan of his art style in general, like many people. But it doesn't mean that I hate the guy personally. I have nothing against him. And actually, from what I've read, he's supposedly a very nice guy in general. So even if you're not a fan of him, it doesn't necessarily mean he's bad. And he's not awful. It's not like you don't know what he's wrong.
I see.
For lack of a description. But
what was the prank?
Well, this guy, saw that he was at the Comic-Con. And, first he said hi to him. And then he said Then he demanded an apology for Captain America Reborn.
Oh, all right.
And Rob Liefeld kind of chuckled and brushed him off. So the guy went and bought, there's a very famous book called How to Draw the Marvel Comics Way.
Okay.
He bought the book at a stand for $5, wrote an inscription in it saying, you know, to Rob, please learn how to draw, and you still owe me an apology.
Uh-oh.
And he handed it to him and walked away. And it was kind of, I'm like, you know, that's kind of a dick move. So there you go. That's what I think. I think the guy
That's
it?
That's the whole thing?
That's the whole thing. But it got a lot of internet.
I thought Rob punched the guy in the face or something.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He just ignored him.
That was good.
So, yeah, I don't condone that behavior. How's that? That's my answer.
No.
I think it's kind of a dick move.
All right, let's go into the CAG bag, Wombat. There's a lot of CAG-y goodness in here. Jay Bling Blang asks or says, hey, guys, what's so funny?
It's a funny name.
Oh, Jay Bling Blang?
And the way you say it is funny.
Bling Blang. Hey, guys, love the show. Keep up the good work. He's got two questions, Wombat, one for each of us. Cheapy, being a citizen in Japan, I'm very curious. When you and Mrs. Cheapy and or Ty go out anywhere, do people give you odd looks because your wife has to translate your English to Japanese? No, they give me odd looks because I'm a 6'4" white guy with a shaved head. That is why. I don't think they, you know, she doesn't have to do that often. You know, like, she'll order for me in restaurants. She doesn't, you know, we do, you know, I tell her what I want before the waiter comes over, usually. But no, and usually if Ty is there, they just focus on Ty. Ty is the great international spokesman. They love Ty, but no, they don't care about that. They care about my freakish size and white nature, foreign nature. Wombat, I know that you're very much looking forward to Arkham Asylum. The confirmed list of villains isn't too bad. We've got Joker, Harley Quinn, Mr. Zazz, Bane, Poison Ivy, and Scarecrow. Are there any other villains you think should be in this game? Also, which system are you buying it for? 360 for Nerd Points or PS3 for Joker?
The list is very good, and it's like, I don't know how many more villains they should add into it because I have a feeling there'll be a sequel.
Aha.
So, you know, do you want to throw in Two-Face and the Penguin and Maxi Zeus and Egghead and...
Riddler,
the ventriloquist.
Is Riddler in the game? Riddler's in the game.
Poison Ivy's in the game. That I know. Did he? Oh, he mentioned that.
I liked in the demo. One of the things we didn't mention about the demo is that you unlock trophies of the people.
Yeah, and you get character profiles and stuff.
Did you go and look at them?
Yeah, they're kind of creepy. I mean, Killer Croc, Sandman, Clayface. I mean, it's not Sandman. Clayface. Yeah,
it's cool that you can check out like the detail of the character models, like zoom around them and stuff. And did you check that out at all?
I did. That's how I saw the rivets up close.
Oh, I checked out Batman's ass.
I bet you did.
It's pretty muscular.
Well, you know, he works out a lot.
Yeah, we don't have a lot in common in terms of body type.
I bet he doesn't have to return his underwear for being too small.
Definitely not. He has custom bat underwear.
And it's probably silk.
It's probably has rivets in it.
It's probably has trouble running. You ever tried running in silk underwear?
It's hard.
Well, that's the problem.
And that's why he can't jump in
the game. Oh my god, that was funny and you didn't laugh at my joke. Forget it.
What do you mean?
Never mind. You can rewind it later.
I'll rewind. I'm getting lightheaded from lack of air. the voice in your head. Says, hey guys, just wondering if Wombat could give us an update on the iPhone iPod Touch game he was making.
I spoke with my friend about it, and because I made the mistake of asking a friend of mine for sketches.
Okay.
And now I can't not ask him to keep working on it, but he hasn't gotten
anything. Oh, why? They were
yet.
Shitty?
No, he just hasn't gotten me anything yet. He keeps coming up with excuses.
Why don't you ask Whip Smart Banky?
Because I don't want to impose.
Because
my friend I can impose on, it's just that, you know, when you have someone that you can impose on, they take their time.
I see.
But it's not dead. It's far from dead. And it was just something I wanted to see if I could do more than actually produce. Like, can I even come up with an idea? So we'll see.
Well, I have the, I paid for the license now, the developer's license.
That's true. So who knows? Maybe you and I could discuss my proposal after. the show.
Absolutely.
I think you would like it. I think you would actually play the game, so who knows?
Really? Is it about me?
It is about you. It's called Cheapy D's Adventure in Tate Land.
Then I am interested.
I know you are.
The only way I'd be interested. Blue Swim says a couple questions. Wow, a lot of questions. Hey, Cheapy, what are your TV viewing habits like in Japan? Do you watch any Japanese TV shows, even though you supposedly can't speak the language that well? I watch Sumo. I enjoy watching Sumo because you don't really need to know anything except watching two fatties bump up against each other, which is always entertaining. Sometimes I watch, Ty likes watching trains, so, and there's a lot of shows involving trains. We watch that. And, that's pretty much about it. He also wants to know, a question for both of us, I don't even know. He wants to know what we think about the Xbox Live Arcade release Raystorm. I don't know anything about it. Do you know anything about it?
Nope.
Okay. He also wants to know if we've ever considered doing a full-length, off-topic, non-gaming-related episode of the CADcast. It seems like the off-topic discussions you guys do at the beginning of the show is the high point of each episode. I don't know. Maybe.
I think we do that every episode.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. And finally, could you move the CAG bag to the beginning or middle of the show instead of the end? By the time you guys get to it, both of you have lost interest in the show entirely and are ready to call it a day or a night after only a handful of questions. Drunken Gamer Radio starts off their show with a mailbag, and that format works surprisingly well. But we sort of do that with the show feedback, you know. I don't know. We'll think about it. He says he loves the CADcast and the site. Baron O'Hell says, I was just watching YouTube videos of Japanese people being squeezed onto a train. They were pushing and getting pushed from behind to get as many people in as possible. Are all the trains like that in Japan, or is it just like that during peak hours? Looks like they had paid official pushers also. I've never seen that happen. I've only seen it on YouTube videos like you. I don't ride the train during rush hour, thankfully, very often. My Mrs. Chibi is listening in the other room, and she just chimed in saying that sounds like 20 years ago. But Mrs. Chibi, I've seen the videos, and they look pretty recent.
I don't think they're paid pushers. I think they're just...
Well, I can't, have this conversation with you, because nobody can hear you.
Oh, okay. I can hear.
If you want to come here and talk about it, that's fine.
What does she know? She's not even from Japan.
She didn't want to come in here because she's wearing a towel robe, but I'm now going to explain to you that this is the radio, fake radio, so nobody can see it.
I know, but I feel
Come close to the microphone. You have to speak into the microphone.
I know, but I feel kind of insecure.
Okay, she feels insecure. What if I lift this dress up like this? Okay. I just got hit. So Ms. Chibi doesn't think that really is happens very much or at all anymore, but I'm telling you, I saw the video. It was recent.
I think they are just the station masters trying to...
Right, their job is not just to push people.
Right. I don't think they're trying to fit people in. I don't think they're trying to fit people in, but maybe like try not to get their bags caught in a door and stuff like that.
All right, we'll have to show you the video sometime. We'll get back to you on that. All right, thank you, Ms. Chief. You can take a shower now.
I did.
Oh, you already took the shower?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Does she smell that bad that you can't tell when she showered and when she hasn't?
No. I mean, she smells that good that I
can't tell. Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Nice save. Nice save.
Thank you. Thank you. let's see. I don't like this question. Oh, here's one from Dunk the Funk. Hey, Cheapy, a few episodes ago, you talked about getting more hits or downloads with controversial episode titles. Wombat and Hitler were right. Since iTunes doesn't track the number of downloads or subscribers a podcast receives, I was wondering how you track it.
Black magic.
I just guess. I have a dartboard. No. I use a podcast hosting service called Libsyn, and they provide statistics. Because the file is hosted in only one spot on the Libsyn server, it doesn't really matter how people get the podcast. If they get it through iTunes or if they get it direct download via a link on Cheap Ass Gamer, it's all coming from the same place. So the stats are accurate. It doesn't matter if where they get it. And it didn't seem to have much effect this last time, I don't think. Blackout says, Wombat, where in the hell is your blog with the conduit review? Did you give up on it?
I wouldn't necessarily gave up as much as it is. I'm just... Since the conduit showed up at my house, my company merged with another company, and my department of three has turned into a department of about 12. And my work has impounded by that much. You know, so about fourfold. So I've been working longer hours, and I've been coming home, and usually I crash. I barely do anything else. So I just haven't had the time, which isn't a bad thing.
I have a feeling...
But, you know.
No, I hear you. I have a feeling we will see the conduit review around the same time that we'll see Wombat's iPhone game.
You know, you kiss so, my ass. I actually spoke. You know, what's funny. I actually spoke with someone on the phone, a business associate, in regards to the iPhone game. So,
really?
Yeah, really. So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, kiss your ass, right?
Based a little on that front, yes. On the conduit review, no. It's kind of I'm a jerk. What do you want from me?
You are a jerk. Okay, you are a jerk. They did send, didn't Sega send you the game and you're supposed to review it? Well, you talked about it on the show. That was close
enough. I did. It's, yeah. I've said it before and I said it again. More people listen to what we have to say about games on the show than read most reviews on the internet.
Okay. Nicarus says, outstanding show, fellas. Don't know how I'd make it through a work without you guys.
We don't know how we'd make it to work without you two.
Right. Do you have plans for a retro gaming segment on the CADcast? I've been listening to old episodes, and I am really digging the movie quotes, game music intros. Do you still play the retro systems, or have you traded them all in for new games? I can't even remember. I mean, I played a lot of games growing up, you know, starting with, you know, the consoles before Atari, like the Telstar Ranger and stuff. I can't remember the games that I played, though.
Well, I mean, so I guess it's, so. I guess the idea of what's retro gaming is a relative topic, too, if that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we talking Atari? Yeah. Is that what you consider retro gaming?
I don't know. For me, it is.
I figured he meant, like, the Genesis.
Well, that, too. I mean, I played that also, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those systems with me here. They're all in. They're all back on Strong Island.
Well, the oldest system I have is my Dreamcast.
Yep.
So
there's a local store here that sells... old, like I see old Super Famicoms and stuff like that, and I think about buying them, but then I think, why would I buy that? You know, I have so many wires already behind my TV, I can't imagine adding any more. Let's see. Toxic, last one, Wombat. Toxic Magnum says, hey, Cheapy, I've been listening to the CADcast for a while now, and I've heard you bash the Star Wars prequels, and I was wondering why you hate them so much.
I'll field
love
this
the
one.
CADcast and keep it up. Yes, please do. I was hoping you would.
That's because the Star Wars prequels take everything that's great about everything on the planet, rip it up into tiny little pieces, ingest it, shit it out, light it on fire, eat it, and shit it out again. And that is the problem with the Star Wars prequels. They are everything that's wrong with the planet on celluloid.
Yeah, they make the screenplays of the original Star Wars movies look like Shakespeare. That's how bad they are. And you know
the real problem.
Ones,
you know, there's a few major problems with the prequels. I'll get a little serious and explain.
Yes, please
I'll
do.
Explain
please.
What I really don't like about the Star Wars prequels. There were certain things about the original Star Wars trilogy that, when you watched as a child, made you feel a certain way. The idea of the Force and the idea of being a Jedi, although we all knew it was fiction, there was still a part of you that's like, well, maybe if I try hard enough, I could be a Jedi too. Where even mm-hmm. if you knew it wasn't real, I mean, there was a, you know, I think it was in England, they tried to register Jedi as a religion in the early 90s.
Yes.
Because it was a way of life. It was a way to think. It was in many ways like a religion. And it was something that you could take to heart and believe in and enjoy. Now, when the prequels came out, we learned that being a Jedi wasn't something that everybody could be. You had to be born with a certain metachlorian count. And it basically took everything that you believed and hoped and learned and loved from the first movie, that the Force can't be with you. The whole cusp right. of the first three movies is that the Force will be with you always. But then you learned that if you weren't born with the crap already, then you're never going to have the fucking Force, so you better give up or don't try. And that's the moral of the Star Wars prequels, is give up, don't try. If you're not born with it, you're never going to get it. And
wow,
that is why I hate the Star Wars prequels.
This hit very close to home for you, I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all your dreams were crushed by the Star Wars prequels.
Basically, yeah.
See, for me, it wasn't even that. It's just that the writing was so awful. And not like the original ones were so great or anything, but the newer ones were just so bad. Like, it seemed like an 11-year-old wrote it. It seemed like Happy Jack wrote it. You know, like, it just, like, I can't remember any of the dialogue off the top of my head, but I just remember, like, some of the dialogue between Anakin and Padme.
And the age thing didn't work for me either. Like, how come he aged and she didn't? I never quite got that.
Right. Like, the whole the love in the sand thing. Do you remember? Yeah. I remember that one being particularly awful.
The first movie could have been 10 minutes long.
Right.
Like, I don't need to see 2.5 hours of a 10-year-old. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupid. It was bad. Anyway, I think that's enough about Star Wars, Wombat. And enough show at an hour and a half. I think that's plenty for everybody. Probably too much for most people.
It ain't too long. It ain't too short.
All right, Wombat. Let us do some housekeeping here very quickly. I want to remind everybody that they can follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/CheapyD, where I've started to do my audio boos again now that I'm back from vacation. Twitter.com/Wombat5277, where he does whatever he does. Who knows what that is. And Twitter.com/Shipwreck, if you want to find out what Shipwreck is up to. And if you're looking for video game deals, you can get them via Twitter as well at twitter.com/videogamedeals or UK game deals if you are in the UK. Please review us on iTunes. We appreciate all those reviews, and people have been good about them lately. You don't even need to write a review anymore. You can just select the number of stars, and we like that too. And I think that's about it, Wombat. I think it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mama. You make my eyes rain.
Brain games is over.
That was a good show.
That show was awesome.
It was almost as good as the Animal Olympics.
That was a movie, and that was awesome, too.
I know. That was good. That was very emotional at the end.
When the cheetah and the gnu fall in love, that one?
Yep, and they hold hands through the finish line, and they tie, and everybody starts crying.
Yeah, I think that movie was awesome.
What was the Howard Cosell guy's name? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Mm. Wasn't it actually? No, it wasn't actually. It was voiced by Harry Shearer. Wow, why do I know this off the top of my head?
Right. I don't know why you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to look it up now. I can't find it. It was good. Good quality HBO action there for you. And don't forget Electric Blue from the Playboy Channel.
That was, you know, Electric Blue.
If anyone could ever find me the Electric Blue theme song in, like, MP3 format, I would be very grateful.
It would be the show opener, that's for sure.
It would be. It's a great song, and I have been having a very difficult time tracking that down. Anyway, thanks for listening. We will see you. Wait, are we doing a show next week? Am I still here? Yes, I am still here next week. We have to do it earlier in the week, I guess. But okay. Very good. Thank you.
Now the time has come to see the show. The show, the show, the show. Because your dreams, your dreams. Electronic centerfolds. The dream cannot be spoiled, it simply must sustain the truth. The truth is sex and cars and dreams, electric blues.